Would the children like to come up? Please come forward. No kids this morning? Hi. Let's sit up here. How are you this morning?
Good.
All right. This morning, we're gonna hear a funny word in this morning's verse. And there's, I've got something here I've found that'll be interesting.
Give me my friend. Friend right there, mom and dad.
Okay. They might come up. There's going to be a word this morning in our gospel. And it's a word, it's anointing. That's kind of a fun word to say, isn't it? Anointing. I think, right? Yeah. That's a big word, too.
Big word.
It is a big word. Originally, that word came from the shepherds who took care of the sheep. And what it was, the lice and the bugs would often get into the sheep. Kind of like our cats and dogs will get fleas and bugs and stuff, you know. But the shepherds would take this oil and they'd put it on the sheep's wool. And would make it slippery so the bugs wouldn't bother their ears and wouldn't hurt them. That's what this anointing was. But today's anointing in this verse means... Wow, that's right. Today's verse word is going to mean the chosen one. Anointed is going to mean the chosen one. Because the Bible says that Jesus was chosen by God to spread the good news to those who have been held captive by sin.
Oh.
Have you guys ever gone outside and played so hard that you came in a filthy mess, all dirty and grimy, and maybe you played in the mud and you were all muddy?
Be dirty, I will be clean, and I put both on me.
That's good, because that's exactly, you know how to fix that. And that was my point here. How do you fix that? You get cleaned up. You jump in the bathtub or you jump in the shower, and you get all that dirt, all that grubby stuff off of you. And then it makes you feel better too, doesn't it? To get all nice and clean. Wasn't that that's what Jesus does for us. He helps us to be clean and helps us feel better. You're not going to play it and get dirty today?
No.
Okay. We see Jesus was chosen by God to free us from sin. He makes us clean. He makes us clean inside. And just remember that Jesus is for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor or what color you are or where you live in the world. Jesus is here to forgive our sins, and he loves each and every one of you. You guys want to pray with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Dear God, thank you for loving us and giving us Jesus to help us be free from sin. Help us to learn more about you every day. Amen. Thanks, guys.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 146, and I'll be reading the New Living Translation. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever, and he will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. And then if you could please rise for the reading of our gospel this morning. And the gospel this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 14 through 30. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. And at that time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. They began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be? They asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? Then he said, you will undoubtedly quote me this proverb. Physician, heal yourself, meaning do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time, and when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon, and many in Israel had leprosy in the time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian. When they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. You may be seated.
Dear Lord, let this message that you have given to Kathy's heart fill the hearts of all those who are here to listen this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation to speak today, and I'm excited about this message, but I want to kind of do a little preface here before we see another video. What do you see in your mind when you hear the word inaugural address? Are you thinking of what's going to be happening this week in Washington, D.C.? Or are you thinking about how in the world do the words inaugural address have anything to do with the Bible? Or better yet, are you thinking, what in the world is this message going to be about? Well, I can assure you that we are not going to be delving into current political times. We will not be dealing with any political issues. We will be dealing with the political world of Jesus Christ. But to get us started today, I'd like to take you back in time to a depiction of what today's scripture may have looked like in Nazareth. Please put yourself in this picture, in that synagogue, hearing the scripture being read by Jesus.
He went straight to the synagogue. I saw him. He's back.
And now, our reading from the prophets. The prophet Isaiah. Who is our reader?
Today, Rabbi.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to give good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
Today, in your hearing, the scriptures are fulfilled.
Scriptures are fulfilled. Did he say fulfilled?
But
how can he dare to say such a thing?
What do you mean? The prophecy you have read can only be fulfilled by the coming of the Messiah.
Yes, right.
By the coming of the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God comes not in a way foreseen by men. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of heaven, behold, is suddenly upon you.
What?
Blessed is he who is not ashamed of me.
Take this man out of here. Don't let him touch the Holy Scriptures. Clear him out, Rabbi.
Today, in our hearing, the Scriptures are fulfilled.
Powerful words. Did you see the emotions on everyone present in the synagogue that day? Some were scared, some were amazed. Others were angry, and some were downright livid. No one in that synagogue that day was untouched by the words of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus put into motion his mission that very day. He gave his inaugural address. So let's build a timeline to better understand what had taken place before his inaugural address. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, thus beginning his ministry. He was then led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where he endured temptation after temptation. Luke chapter 4 tells us that word spread throughout Galilee of the works that Jesus was doing in his ministry. No doubt that word had traveled to Nazareth about the great works their hometown boy had been doing. I can only imagine how proud they were of Jesus. So as was custom, Jesus entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. The synagogue served as a local center for worship and instruction each week. It was a place where everyone knew each other, and they enjoyed the sacred time together. Any qualified male could read the scriptures and expound on it. So Jesus stood up that day to read from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. After he got done reading the scriptures, Jesus said, "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." I get goosebumps just knowing that this scripture had been written over 700 years before Jesus read that very day. He was saying exactly what needed to be said at the exact time that it needed to be read. See how perfect God's timing is? He's a God of order. Things happen for reasons, and there's no mistake to what our God does. That very day was to be profound for all that heard Jesus. The scriptures literally came to life. So why on earth was there all this chaos in the synagogue? The Jews were devout in their practice in reading scriptures. They knew a Messiah was coming. Why did they not believe? Well, I would like us to explore two ideas today of why people reject Jesus. Number one, people reject Jesus because they don't want to submit to his lordship. What I mean by lordship is his supreme power or superior rule. The people of Nazareth saw Jesus growing up. They knew his parents. They knew his whole family. They worshiped with him before in the synagogue. They felt he was one of them. So when Jesus told them that the scriptures were fulfilled that day, all they could see before their eyes was the son of a carpenter, Joseph's son. They were upset that Jesus would dare to speak about him being the Messiah. Many in the synagogue felt they were religious, studying the scriptures their whole life, and no way was this man from Nazareth the Messiah. In fact, some probably challenged Jesus about his ministry works, about how his ministry works were performed in many places, but not Nazareth. Well, Jesus had the perfect comeback. Luke verse 24 tells us that, "But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." Can't we all relate to this phrase? Think about it. All of us have been called by God for his purpose, for his kingdom, just like Jesus. However, many of us would admit that we doubt what we see, we doubt what we hear, and we even turn away when there's a call on us to move on God's behalf. Let me give you an example. There once was a young man in our hometown that seemed to find trouble wherever he went. He wasn't very good in school, and his home life was very challenging, to say the least. This young man escaped a small-minded hometown to join the military and to see the world. When his travels were complete, he realized that God called him to shepherd God's people, and thus he entered the ministry. When he came back to his small-minded hometown, the folks in the community were astonished, bewildered, and even joked about, "There is no way that he will ever be a minister in this town. People remember too much of what it's like when he grew up." This young man endured the talk, the rhetoric, and the hardship of his small-minded hometown friends, and he did become a shepherd of God's people. He stepped out and he followed where he was being led. He knew the calling before him and he pushed through the hardships. Now, flip back to the synagogue. People did not want to believe that the scriptures were fulfilled because it was the carpenter's son. They failed to understand that they did not know God's will nor God's plan. They were humans and he is God. They didn't want to submit to Jesus because they could not believe that he was the Messiah. Point number two, people reject Christ because they don't want to admit their sinful, desperate condition. This is the part that hits most of us square between the eyes. I know it does that for me. In Luke chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus talked about two people directly, a widow in Sidon and Naam from Israel. Both were Gentiles. Jesus was speaking about the miraculous things being done in conjunction with this widow and Naam. Well, the gloves were off in the synagogue. How dare Jesus speak of God's blessings to Gentiles? I am sure that many in the synagogue that day were thinking, "We did so much for Jesus growing up, and now he's throwing this all back in our faces." After all, many of these people thought of themselves as the religious know-it-alls. They are better than those Gentiles. Gentiles don't deserve God's grace and mercy. But Jesus had a different plan. His mission statement was carefully laid out that day in verses 18 and 19. Let us break this down to see how these verses directly relate to us today. We are poor, spiritually destitute, and bankrupt before God. We cannot buy our way to heaven because we have nothing to offer God. He is the only one that can rescue us. We are captive. We are spiritually enslaved to sin. We are under the domain of the kingdom of darkness, unable to free ourselves from the wickedness of this world, and unable to extricate ourselves from the sin that holds us in its power. We are blind, spiritually unable to see the light of the glory of Jesus unless he opens our eyes. Just as a blind person has no power or ability in himself to open his eyes unless God performs a miracle, so the spiritually blind sinner cannot do anything. He can do nothing himself to remedy his condition unless God sovereignly and powerfully opens the eyes of his heart. We are oppressed. We are being held down by the limits of being human. We trust only in ourselves, what we can see, what we can feel, what we can smell, and what we can touch. This oppression breaks our spirits and leaves us hopeless. Oppression shatters lives and separates us from the love of God. When the people of Nazareth rejected Jesus that day, he passed through their midst and went on his way. Their rejection sent a very loud message. They did not want Jesus. May our hearts this day hear these words so that we don't make that fateful mistake they did. Jesus is right before our eyes. He is our Messiah, our Redeemer, and our Savior. His death and resurrection assures you and I of eternal life in the knowledge that he is our Lord and our Savior. We need to find him today. Please go and spread the good news. Amen. If you will rise, we were going to sing our final hymn. If during this time together you would like some additional prayer, Pastor Zach is available for those of us that need that. So I welcome you to join in our final hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask for blessings on the meal that we are partaking, Lord, for the hands that have prepared it, for the nourishment of our bodies, to continue in your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.